Are in a series, and I've said this many times, so by now you probably know what I'm going to say next, but in a series called Chaos to Clarity. You experienced any chaos in your world today, or like me? Yeah, I have. Chaos to Clarity. This problem of chaos isn't a new thing, and John is talking to us out of the book of 1 John. The study is actually a study out of the book of 1 John, Chaos to Clarity. If you were with us last week, we talked about these tests that John gives us, saying these tests determine who the true children of God are. And if you were following in the passage, I think it's verse 10, we kind of skipped over verse 10 last week a little bit, because the final verse, I think, adds a fifth test. I said there were four tests, but I think there's five. And my mother-in-law, Alice Marie, pointed it out to me at the Bible study. Isn't that great when you're in Bible study and your mother-in-law points out to you that maybe you missed a test? Oh, it was good. It was somewhat intentional, because this final test, John spends the next 13 verses in 1 John, the ones we're going to look at today, talking about this final test. So this final test, in my words, is simply this. Children of God, they love each other. Children of God, they love each other. That's perhaps the fifth test that should have belonged in last week's sermon, but John's going to spend all of today's sermon, all 13 verses, talking about how children of God love each other. But have you heard this theme before? We've been through the series, you know, Chaos to Clarity. Have you heard it before? Well, that's because if you've been here in our series, you have heard it before. Children of God love each other. Because this isn't the first time John has said that children of God love each other. It's the second time. And he's not done with it. In 2 weeks' time from now, Hannah's going to preach. And for the third time, you'll hear children of God, they love each other. So we're going to jump in. And just to back up 2,000 foot view over this book, there are three major topics that John talks about. And each of those major topics, he talks about three times. The first one, major topic, is we believe that Jesus is God. Jesus isn't just a human. Jesus is God. And in the early church, they couldn't believe that. These people that had left John's church, and I've referred to this many times over the weeks, they left because they couldn't handle this idea that Jesus was God. God would die. So the first major topic, and John talks about it three times, is Jesus is God. Then, as I've already mentioned, he talks three times about what are some things that determine who the true children of God are. Three times he circles around that topic. And three times he talks about how children of God love each other. So here we are, second time talking about how children of God love each other. So I'm going to invite Shelley up at this time, and Shelley is going to read the passage for us. Mark was going to read, but he's not feeling the greatest today, but he still made it to church. Shelley's going to read, and I just want you to know this is Mark's wife. Mark will be here next week, and you'll have a great time with them next week. So thank you, Shelley, for reading. If you have your Bible, it's John chapter 3, verses 11 to 24.
Starting verse 11. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear sisters, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought also to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey him and do the things that please him. And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him and he with them. And we know he lives in us because the Spirit he gave us lives in us.
Thank you, Shelley. If I were to sum up in one sentence what I think John is telling us from this passage, is he's saying this: to know God is to know love. And to know love is to be filled with love for our brothers and sisters. To know God is to know love. And to know love is to be filled with love for our brothers and sisters. When the scripture refers to brothers and sisters in this setting, it is all those who follow Jesus, your brothers and sisters. John is coming about this topic of brothers and sisters loving each other in a unique kind of way today. Remember, John is writing to a church where it's been split. These people, they stopped believing in the true Jesus. They became divisive. They didn't love each other. And so they left. So John is getting us to think, getting them to think about what is true. John comes about this topic of true children loving each other by this family likeness. When's the last time maybe you held an infant or you were near an infant? You know, the infant I was nearest to last was Isaiah, Kim and Matthew's son. You know, when you get near an infant, what's something that you tend to do? Having picked up the infant and caring for the infant and just having so much joy that, you know, Isaiah is born into the world. A very common tendency that we do is we start looking right away in the infant's face and we say, this infant, Isaiah, does he look like Matthew or does he look like Kim? And we start doing this comparison thing. And sure enough, we always find likeness, family likeness. We maybe have differing opinions on whether Isaiah looks more like Matthew or more like Kim, but nonetheless, we say Isaiah looks like his parents. And the thing is, this doesn't go away in the infant stage, does it? You talk to most toddlers, you know, what do they want to do when they grow up? They want to be like their dad. They want to be like their mother. Apparently, that's the way I was as a kid. When my parents asked me when I was like, you know, 6 years old, I wanted to grow up and grow plants like my dad. And sure enough, I did. Until I moved to Thunder Bay. The reality is that we inherit traits from our family. Some of those are good and some of those are bad, but nonetheless, we are usually identifiable by our family belonging. It's also a thing of great pride, is it not? To often to belong to a family, not every family potentially, but I know in our family, my wife is always looking at our nieces and nephews and pointing out how so-and-so looks like grandfather or how so-and-so looks like her son. There's this family likeness, and we're all proud of this family likeness. We have family. John is coming about this topic of loving our brothers and sisters from a family perspective. We have to start off with the hard verses first, because we read some hard verses, and those hard verses are hard to swallow. John gets us to think about something. He says that there are two families on the planet. One family is the family of God. The other family is the family of the evil one. Two families. Everybody belongs or is in one family or the other one. Is that kind of hard to hear, that there's only two possibilities and that we're either in one family or in the other one? But stick with me as we look at these verses that John gives us. He says in verse 11, this is the message we have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. And at this point, we're tracking with him. This makes sense. But then he goes on. He says, we must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. If you had the English Standard Version, it would make this even a little bit more clear. But it says, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Now, perhaps you've never heard the story of Cain and Abel, but Cain and Abel are the sons of Adam and Eve. Abel was a shepherd, and Cain worked the ground. And when it was harvest time, Cain brought some of the crops he had harvested, and he brought them to God as an offering. And Abel brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs of his flock. And if you read the story, you can find it in Genesis chapter 4. Verse 4 says that the Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. So God asked Cain, Cain, why are you so angry? Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. Then the scriptures sort of goes a little bit silent, but the next thing we hear is that Cain invites his brother Abel out into the field. And there in the field, Cain murders his brother Abel. See, you might look at it this way. The murder came because Cain belonged to the evil one. The murder came because the evil one has always been doing evil. The devil, the Satan, is the author of evil, and he has been doing evil since the very beginning. This is perhaps a shocking thought to us, but here's another verse. We've already heard this verse. I think it was last week. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says this, but when people keep on sinning, it shows they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. Verse 14, if we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. This is hard, isn't it? It's so binary. It's so black and white. That's because John is thinking about life as two families. We're either in one family or we're in the other. And that is why John is even comparing hate to murder. All of that stuff, all the hate, all the murder, it belongs in the family of the evil one. It doesn't belong in the family of the righteous one. That is God. So he continues, so don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. You see, don't be surprised because there's two families. One family, the devil leads that one. The other family, Jesus leads that one. So if you're in the Jesus family, it's very likely that those in the family of the devil will hate you. See, for John, it's black and white. It's kind of binary. And he's saying, you're part of a new family now. You're not part of the world. The world and its system. The world with the devil as its leader. We know we passed out of death into life when we love our brothers and sisters. That a person who has no love is still dead. Hear the language. There's two families. The family that belongs to the evil one is dead. Scriptures would put it this way even. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin, the wages of remaining in the family of the devil or the evil one is death. The gift of belonging to the family of the righteous one, that is God, is life. There's no in between. There's no gray area. There's two families, and we're either in one or in the other. And that's, of course, why he says anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. It's like he's saying hate and murder, they only belong in the family of the evil one. Love belongs in the family of the righteous one. And in case this language is just too hard for us to process, even Jesus says stuff like this too. If you open up your Bible to John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus was talking to the religious leaders, and they were saying how they were children of Abraham and kind of how they had life figured out and they didn't need Jesus. And he said, you actually, you think you belong to Abraham, but you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. The family of the evil one, with the devil leading, the death rate is 100% all the time. If it doesn't happen on this planet, it will happen in eternity. Death. The gift of life that comes from Jesus is 100%. Think about hate for a minute with me. Why would hate be like the evil one? And perhaps that's obvious, but I think there's something deep underneath us for us to think about. Hate says, you hurt me, I hurt you. You offended me, I offend you. I will control my life. I will be in charge. I will take care of you. Hate says, I will take the place of God and act as if I am God. You know who the first created being was to do that? The devil. The devil was the first created being to say, I will take life into my own hands and live it in my own terms and do what I want. And so the devil becomes the father of hate, the father of taking control of life. Cain, I don't know what happened there for Cain, but Cain, it says he belonged to the evil one. Perhaps his life was a whole sequence of decisions where he was investing his life into the life of the evil one. And then he decides to bring this offering to God and God rejects it. And so Cain then begins to think to himself, he begins to think, Abel's my problem. I got to take care of Abel. I got to take him out. And that's what he does. He goes and kills his brother Abel. I will take my life into my hands and I will control it. That's what hate does. And so when we hate, we become like the father of hate, that is the devil. And ultimately, the question could also be summed up this way. You see, true followers of Jesus, they say, thy will be done. Those who follow the way of the devil, who are like the father, the devil, they say, my will be done. There are two families. One family says, thy will, O Lord, be done. The other says, my will be done. But here John shifts. He shifts now to tell us what real love is, how children of God can experience something very different than this dark world over here. They can enter into the family of God. He says this, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. It's almost like he's saying this. When you enter into the family of God, you are now somehow just intrinsically different. Hate, murder, they actually don't belong to you anymore. They're not who you are. You're somebody different. You're somebody that loves your brothers and your sisters. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. We might then ask the question, but how do we know if we're in the family of God? And I read this verse last week, but I'll read it again. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we're told this, "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God." Isn't it fascinating? You know everybody who's in this family of God? You know all those people? They came from the family of the evil one? Isn't that something? All those people, they transferred over into this brand new family. And in this brand new family, God says, "You're my children." Each one of us is given a choice. Each one of us is invited. There are two families. Which family do we want to be in? What's fascinating, too, is God doesn't come along and give us a whole bunch of to-do lists of how to make ourselves more acceptable to him. He doesn't do that. He says, listen, you can transfer out of the old family, the family of chaos and death, into my family. And then, because you're in my family, now your actions are, you will love your brothers and sisters. No, not, I've got to love my brothers and sisters. I've got to do a better job. I've got to stop sinning. No, you transferred families, and now as a result of transferring families, there's only one way for you to live. See how that makes sense? It's not moralism. It's not trying harder and harder. It is changing families. Come join the family of love. Then John seems to give us a test in the next verse, verse 17. He says, if you see a brother or sister who has a need, yet you show no compassion, how can God's love be in you? If you see a brother or sister who has a need and you close your heart against them, how can God's love be in you? Simply this, you've changed families. When you change families, you have experienced God's love toward you. Now your love begins to be melted with love. Now, because you have love, it flows out of you to someone else. So if you're not loving your brother or sister, how can God's love be in you? See, it's not trying harder. It's changing families. He said, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. And I think he's saying this because in this early church, people had a whole lot of things they kept saying about who God was. They had the religious talk. But John's saying, listen, one of the litmus tests of the follower of Jesus is simply this. They've changed families. They're no longer in the family of the evil one. They've changed families, and now love comes from them. See, were they displaying love toward each other in their divisive fights? No. And John makes a judgment call and says, they did not belong. They were not part of the family of God. John seems to take a pastoral tone for the rest of our text. We got through those hard verses, and he seems to take a pastoral tone. He says, our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do the things that please him. See, the thing is that every one of us came from the family of the evil one, and when we surrender our lives to Jesus, we entered the family of God. But if you're like me at all, when you look inside of yourself, you can still see these tendencies, these things about you that make you feel insecure, potentially, or guilty. You think about the actions that you didn't do, or the things that you should have said, or the ways in which you weren't terribly loving. You begin to wonder, but what family am I part of? I think John anticipates that, because he says, if you feel guilty, I want you to know something. God is greater than your feelings. I think he encourages us to look back in our lives and look back to the ways that God has led us, and even recall the ways in which he has enabled us by his Holy Spirit to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That's why he says, our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we'll be confident when we stand before God. But if you're like me, you will wonder some days, how much of a child of God am I acting like? And then we begin to question. But John says, we can draw near to God at that time. We can know that God is greater than our feelings, and we don't have to feel guilty. I think that's awesome. Because as I said, this isn't moralism. This isn't you and I just trying harder. I had something incredibly painful happen this weekend. And in that pain, it's easy to want to, you know, fix the problem. It's easy for those feelings to come of like, you know what? I'm going to fix this by hurting you back. You know what? If you do that to me, I'm going to do it back to you. But you see, that's not me. I've become part of this new family. And in this new family, the result of God's work in me is love. And so I take those thoughts to God. And as part of his new family, I come before him. And John says, you don't have to feel guilty. Come into God's presence. What happens in God's presence? We experience his love. There, we receive his love. There, our hearts become more loving. Our hearts are made at peace. And he says, listen to this. And if you're not guilty, you can know this, that we will receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do the things that please him. I just think that's awesome. Thinking about two families, the family of darkness and chaos or God's family. In God's family, you can come and you can get close and you can be near and you can ask anything. And you can ask anything because you're obeying him, because you're doing what he wants. And he will give you what you ask for. What does that speak of? Does that speak of us improving our lives? No, that speaks of relationship, closeness, intimacy, near to God, no longer lost in the world of chaos and darkness, but near to God. You have joined the new family. And then he closes it with this. We must believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him and he with them. And we know he lives in us because of the Spirit he gave, because the Spirit he gave us lives in us. You see, it's very simple. We believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and we love one another just as he commanded us. And we know he lives in us because his Spirit dwells within us. Today is Pentecost Sunday. On Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit came to the first believers gathered in Jerusalem. You'll find this in the first chapters of Acts. The Holy Spirit came and empowered them. These people became changed people. These people joined the family of Jesus, and they went out and changed the world in God's power. They became family members. Last week, the way we said that was like father, like son, like father, like daughter. This God that we serve, it's relational. We know this is true because we feel the Holy Spirit. We know him. He talks to us. He helps us. The Holy Spirit will lead us away from these tendencies inside of ourselves to act like the old family because we're not those people anymore. The Holy Spirit will lead us away from actions of hate because we don't belong in that family anymore. And as Romans 8 tells us, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. One afternoon, my son, Andrew, and I went to the doctor. Andrew was a soccer player, and he'd injured his leg. So we were at the doctor, sitting in the doctor's office, and the doctor's like chatting to us as, you know, she looks over Andrew and tries to figure out what's wrong with the leg. And as she looks at Andrew and looks at me, she begins to determine that there's a familial likeness between the two of us. So she begins to tell us how we look alike and, you know, how we're similar. And Andrew and I, sitting in the office, we're like doing this secret smile at each other, because the reality is, I'm Andrew's stepdad. But here she was, assuming that I was Andrew's biological dad and finding a familial likeness. Now, isn't that a picture of the kingdom of heaven? Isn't it something that we've been called out of the family of darkness into the family of light? That is God's family. And now, you know what happens to us? Even though it may feel like we're strangers that stepped into a new family, we begin to look like family members. We begin to look like Jesus. And so maybe you and I will be mistaken, you might say, for little versions of Jesus, the old life dropping off, the new life growing within each one of us. Because the Holy Spirit is leading us into God's dear family. To know God is to know love. And to know love is to be filled with love for our brothers and sisters.